doesn't, as they have, it makes it very clear what they want. You're not in any way complaining.
And then maybe you should.
But, you know. Are you taking the muster?
We just need someone to call it to order.
I'm going to call the meeting to order. And let's see here. Are you going to handle the roll call? Or
yes, sir.
Okay.
Keith Vogue is excused. Ken Budge.
Here.
Keith Dennis.
Here.
Dennis Nelson.
Here.
Peter Van Gundlach.
Here. I'm going to have a call to the public.
Yes, so the call to the public is not on any agenda items. It's only for items not on the agenda.
Okay. The new business is for discussion, possible action, election of a chair and a vice chair for the Board of Adjustment.
Chair, Mr. Chairman, does anybody want to speak to something that's not on the agenda? Okay, thank you.
That would be called.
Okay. So there is no call to the public right now.
No.
All right. Let's see here. I'm new at this, so. Give me a break here. Okay. Discussion for possible action, election of a chair and a vice chair for the Board of Adjustment. I nominate Dennis Nelson.
No.
Okay.
Frankly, I think it should be someone that's got experience having been on this board, and this is my first appearance ever.
Well, then nominate someone.
Please withdraw that.
Withdraw the nomination.
Okay. Right. If I might, there's two of us that sit on this that also sit on other boards that have something to do that may come before us, one on planning and zoning, myself on the DRB. And so I don't feel like I would want to be chairman because I may have to take myself off of this if there was going to be something that came from the DRB. It could also happen to somebody that came from the P&Z. So that's one thing I wanted to bring up is you could act maybe as a vice chair, but as a chair, I think you want to be able to have somebody that's going to be here full, you know, would never have to recluse themselves from a hearing. That's all. What, Keith? I mean, it affects you. I'm sorry.
I'm in the same predicament. I asked the city attorney if there is any kind of conflict, if you know, it happened that it was in a leadership position on two boards at the same time. There's not an actual conflict, and in the event that I had to recuse myself from a meeting as a result of being in a leadership position on either board, that would be just fine with me. So, after tonight anyway, I'm sure. So.
Are you nominating anybody?
Well, I would nominate Peter Van Gundlach as chair. Okay.
Second.
Well, I accept. Thank you.
We'll call for a vote.
Vote?
Aye.
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 Aye. Okay.
Now we have vice chair.
Next element.
We have vice chair.
But we need a vice chair. Well, you won't be a vice chair, right?
No. I said I...
You said you could or could not?
I could, yes.
Okay. I nominate Ken Budge as vice chair.
I'll second.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. That's one
chip. Okay, next one is Richard Obenchain, appeal of a notice of violation regarding a violation of Bisbee Zoning Code, Section 6.14, prohibition of occupancy of vehicles and trailers. What is called to the docket?
Well, we...
So it's called to the docket.
You could just...
Hello?
You call to the actual notice of what it is that he...
Oh, the summation of the issues and relevant data by the planning director or his designee. I guess somebody has to speak on that, right?
I'm right.
Okay. Who's speaking on that behalf?
Is there anybody here from the planning department or that will speak on
it? I'm Lori Owen. I'm okay. One of the city attorneys. I can provide an overview. In this case, the parcel involved is 205 Douglas Street in Bisbee. It exists in a zoning area that's RM, residential, which allows for manufactured homes, which are homes made after 1976 that are permanent and affixed. On that parcel, there are five pads, three of the pads are occupied by manufactured homes. They're not at issue in this case. There are two other vintage travel trailers, recreational vehicles, which have been placed on the property since August or September 2006, and those are at issue. 2016, if I didn't say that, sorry. The owners lease those pads, the owners of the RVs lease the pads from the property owners, and they're occupied as residences. The property owners is Richard Obenchain, Matthew Wilkerson.
Wilkinson.
Okay, I apologize, your name is written incorrectly here. It said that he is the resident property manager, and Ed Smith is Mr. Obenchain's representative on the appeal. A complaint was made, a notice of violation was issued in this case because the Bisbee zoning code does not permit recreational vehicles to be used as residences. It specifically prohibits it. And so a notice of violation was issued, and Mr. Obenchain filed for... for a special use permit, sorry, for the travel trailers. But after the attorney's office, after our office reviewed it, we determined that this case is not eligible for a special use permit. And so an appeal has ensued, and that is what's before you tonight.
So I guess we can have an open public hearing. Those people that wish to defend the appellants.
Oh, are these
people? Well, everybody that's on this list should now speak.
Should.
Okay. Well, I guess first one is Carol.
Excuse me. Can I have one quick clarification?
Yeah.
An open meeting, if people did not sign that, is my understanding that if so inspired, they can get up and speak at any time. Is that correct? Okay, just as long as everybody knows that, in case they don't hear their name or forgot to sign up, you can still come up and
speak.
Right.
Well, first on this list is Carol Beecham.
Okay.
Peter.
I'm sorry, and I apologize. I'm going to interrupt.
3 minutes.
Yeah. I'm going to interrupt. We have an order of proceedings that's on the agenda, and we have to follow that. Okay, and so next is the applicant or the applicant's representative makes a statement in support of the application.
Or in this case, the appellant, right? Because we're hearing an appeal, so
sure.
The appellant would be the first one to speak.
Yes, with the representative.
Okay. Excuse me. You'll have to excuse my voice. I lost my voice a few days ago, and I haven't found it yet, so just bear with me. My name is Ed Smith, and I am the legal representative for Dick Obenchain, who owns the property at 205 Douglas Street in Warren. I moved to Bisbee in 1980 and have resided here ever since. In 1994, my partner and I bought the Shady Dell Trailer Park, which was first started in 1928 and is the oldest trailer park in Arizona. We installed pre-1960 travel trailers and mobile homes and rented them by the night, week, and month. We sold the park in 2004, and it is still operating in the same way it has the past 88 years. In the 10 years that we ran the Shady Dell, the city of Bisbee enjoyed millions of dollars in free publicity from newspapers, magazines, and television. In fact, many of our Bisbee residents first heard of Bisbee through the constant barrage of national and international journalistic coverage. So you can imagine how shocked I was to find recently, while the city was busy becoming a worldwide curiosity for its little vintage trailer park, the city officials were busy making anti-vintage trailer laws. And those laws are what brings us here this evening. I would first like to speak of the inner office memorandum dated 1/18/2017 from Lori Owen, excuse me, Deputy County Attorney. Everyone here should have seen that. On the first page, under the heading Background, she states that there are five pads, three of which are occupied by manufactured homes. This is incorrect. There is, in fact, two manufactured homes and one 1950s mobile home made to look like a cottage. I've run across this situation many times before in my search for vintage trailers. First, someone builds a roof over the mobile home, then a Ramada, and over the years, the original trailer is completely encased. This is the case here, the original mobile home being a 1950s New Moon. Secondly, the two trailers that are being cited as being in violation are not both travel trailers, as the deputy county attorney states. The yellow 1953 Vagabond, in fact, is a mobile home, and I'd like to enter these documents as proof. I'll just hand these. There's one in each of these folders. Let's see. I'll give you a minute to open those up and look at them. I have one for everybody there, so you can just pass them down.
Gotcha.
There are two different. One is a photograph of the mobile home in question, 1953 Vagabond, 35-foot mobile home, and the other one is the original 1953 advertising from Trailer Magazine, and you'll see at the top of the heading there with their quarter page ad, they very plainly say that this is a mobile home. The big difference between a mobile home and a travel trailer, besides the size, is that a mobile home is completely dependent on a trailer park for water, electricity, and sewer. A travel trailer will quite often have fresh and gray water, holding tanks, and battery power. In 2001, when Jack Dicey and Dick Oberchin bought this property at 205 Douglas Street, it was known as Blunt's Mobile Home Park. Jack wanted to create a mini Shady Dell with vintage mobile homes. This is his original rendering. If you could pass this over. Thank you. They have been paying sewer and garbage fees on four spaces all along. I have here the records going back to 2013. Any further back, I would have had to have the lady's hand pick these things out. But this is, I think, proof enough that they have been up on their sewer and garbage bill for four of these units all along. And here's the same. Thank you. Also, I have three letters confirming that the park has always been used for occupancy of travel trailers. And this is another handout. These are letters of people that had stayed there, three different trailers, going all the way back to 2008, and then, of course, today. A lot of people come to Bisbee this time of the year to escape harsh weather in the east. When I was running the Shady Dell, we would quite often rent out vintage trailers by the month. Also, many people would come to visit the Shady Dell and end up buying a home here. The city lives and dies on tourism. As it stands right now, you can stay in your travel trailer or RV for 4 days. You'll either have to ask for special permission or leave. And I think most people will do that. They can move right on over to Tombstone or Benson to spend their money in a very welcoming place. And just in summation, as a mobile home, I'm talking about the yellow mobile home here, 1953 Vagabond, I would expect it to be grandfathered in without delay. I understand that planning and zoning will be taking up the issue of travel trailer occupancy at their next meeting. If you don't feel that the small travel trailer belonging to Jennifer Smith can be grandfathered at this time, then I would ask you to at least delay any action until planning and zoning has had a chance to look into this issue. And that's all I have to say about that right now. Well, one more thing. One last item here. Not that it makes any difference. I was told when this was going to go before planning and zoning to go out and get some signatures, and then the city attorney told me, don't bother. It's not like a beauty contest, but you know what? I got about over 100 signatures here anyway. I'll turn that in. Just put that on the record.
Thank you. I have a question, Mr. Mullen. You presented a billing for sewer and garbage that you've been paying. Is that for just three pads, or is that all five pads?
That's for four pads.
Four pads.
As soon as Jennifer Smith moved in, they started paying for five.
I see. Thank you.
Yes.
Mr. Smith, may I ask you a question,
sure.
Please, Mr. Chair? Tell us again what's going on the property right now. You've got the yellow mobile home, and then you've got what else?
It's a, I don't know the brand, but it's a vintage 1960s travel trailer.
Okay.
And so there's two, we're only talking about two trailers here, by the way, gentlemen. That, there's been a lot of talk about how this impacts a residential neighborhood, and I didn't really want to get into that. But if you look up from top to bottom, you have a commercial building at the top of this little wedged piece of land. I think you might have some of that or seen it in your package. But... you have a full-blown salvage yard with metal, salvage metal spilling out into the alleyway. You have a commercial piece of property which is right now being developed at the very top of that property. You have more multi-unit, I don't know what they ever were, maybe little cottages or something on that same piece of little wedge of property. Then you have an industrial piece of property, which is the Copper City Electric. And then you have some more little scattered and so on down.
Mr. Smith, on the property itself that we're talking about tonight, you've
yes.
got the trailer, you've got two travel trailers,
you've got
the mobile home, sorry.
Yeah. No, you actually have two mobile homes because there is the one that is all completely veranded and skirted around, which looks like a little cottage.
So let me put a finer point on it. Are people living in any of these units, let's call them right now?
Yes, they've been occupied around, all along. They're Airbnbs right now, and then the overseer of the property is living in one of them. The other two are available for either for nightly or monthly.
Okay.
As far as the yellow trailer goes, Christine bought that trailer with her life savings. It was her dream. She'll speak in a little while. I'll let you hear her about it. She plans to live on that trailer as long as she can still walk up to it.
Living in it now?
She's living there now, and she has been living there since September.
Okay. There's nobody permanently residing in any of the travel trailers at this time, though. There's the Airbnbs. That's what you're saying.
There are two Airbnbs. There is the one on the very, very end is a New Moon mobile home that is all skirted. It looks like a little cottage. There are two manufactured homes, one of which Matthew lives in. He is the caretaker and the manager of the property. The other one is the other two are available for nightly or monthly. I'm not sure how he exactly handles that. Then there are two trailers that are in question here, the ones we're talking about. One is Christine's yellow 1953 35-foot Vagabond. That is a mobile home.
Right.
That is being occupied fully. The other one is Jennifer Smith's 1960s travel trailer. That one is being occupied by Jennifer.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Quick question.
Yes, Ken.
I know in the older days they were called park models because they had to be parked in a park to use.
Yes.
So I need to know whether the two that are still have wheels under them right now, do either one have holding tanks for sewer?
Christine's trailer, the Vagabond, does not have a holding tank. It is a park model.
Okay.
Or you would call it a mobile home.
Right.
Those terms are interchangeable. As far as Jennifer's trailer, you would have to speak. I'm not sure if that has a holding tank or not.
Because that makes it an RV.
That is a travel trailer. I'm not arguing that point.
Okay. All right. Just wanted to clarify.
So there are three things on the property: the manufactured home, mobile home, and travel trailer.
Thank you.
Yes. Any more questions?
I have a couple of questions, sir.
Sure.
Can you please just confirm to me? I'm sorry, I got a little confused by what you were saying. Both of the trailers that are at issue here, did you say they're both occupied permanently?
Yes, the travel trailer and the yellow Vagabond mobile home.
Okay.
Those are occupied permanently.
Thank you. And the second question I have is, can you confirm to me how long you say you've been paying for sewer for four separate parcels again that you have documentation for?
The only reason I didn't go back further than January 2013, I thought that would be good enough faith, but they would have to do a hand search for this.
Okay. So you brought proof tonight that just since January 13th and forward?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
I've got a question.
Sure.
When was the property last purchased?
The property was purchased in 2001.
And was the current use that you have for the property permitted at that time?
Yes, it was.
And
yes, it was 2006 that all these anti-trailer things came into existence. They simply dropped the verbiage in the mobile home manufactured home. They dropped off the verbiage of mobile home. That's all they did. And then the only thing remaining was a manufactured home. So they didn't actually have to outlaw it. They just dropped the verbiage. And a manufactured home is anything from 76 forward.
Mm-hmm. So at the time that the property was purchased, there was a reasonable expectation to be able to have the kind of living units that you have on.
Oh, yes, most certainly. That was what. That was why the property was purchased. I remember. I've been here since 1980. I remember driving by that. It was a very dilapidated and very crowded trailer park at the time, or mobile home park, whatever you want to call it. And when they bought it, they slowly took the old units out that were. There is old good and there's old bad, and these were old bad units. They were dilapidated. I remember very well looking over there and seeing that. Of course, there were very low-income people living there, and as it was a community, but they slowly eased those out in hopes to do what they're trying to do with the last little piece there, which was have either mobile homes, actually mobile homes and travel trailers is what they wanted. But again, like I said, the planning and zoning, this issue is coming up because that law was so draconian that it really cut out. If you had a relative that was coming in a $500,000 mobile home and or motor home, say, and RV, and they wanted to park in your driveway on your private property and maybe just stay for a week or two, they couldn't do that. They could stay for 4 days, then they have to go get special permission, and I have never figured out what exactly that means or how that's even processed. In other words, no one's going to do that. It's a law that I don't even know why it was 4 days. This is not a law that was crafted here in Bisbee. This is, as I was explained to me, a law they just get off the shelf. It could have been Scottsdale, Arizona's law. It's just a law that they pull in and plug in, and that's why it's being visited right now. In the next meeting, planning and zoning, it's up at the top. It's what my understanding is.
Okay.
To address this issue, which really does need to be addressed.
All right.
Mr. Okay. Chair, may I ask Mr. Smith a question? When you moved here in 1980 and you drove by and you're talking about the condition of the property and everything, were there travel trailers on the property at the time?
Oh, yes. It was when you went back, we researched it back to about 57. I think it was called Stewart's. I might be wrong about that, but it was started a long time ago, and then at some point it was Blunt's in 1967. Art Blunt had it, and then he ran it as a. It was just sort of a mix of travel trailers, mobile homes, big units, little units, whatever.
Right.
There wasn't any concern about that. And when we started the Shady Dell, we had the same situation. We actually had manufactured homes, we had mobile homes, and we had travel trailers, and they still do, actually.
Another question. There's, I was researching this a little bit, and the difference from zoning regulation standpoint between a manufactured home and a mobile home is that manufactured homes are built after 1976. And that there was a change in fire safety codes and electrical codes that made it to where manufactured homes that were built after 1976 or is it 77 were considered safe by today's standards, and mobile homes are called mobile homes even though they're kind of the same thing because they have wiring and they're not up to current code. So
that's not really true.
It may not really be true in terms of a specialist that really knows these things inside and out like yourself. But I'm just telling you that as a planner, this was kind of the dividing line. So in the county where I used to work, and I called them to get a refresher on this the other day, and they just like the city of Bisbee, they have mobile homes and they have manufactured homes, and it's really the biggest difference between them is that date of 1976. And so that for people that wanted in the county that I'm talking about, if you wanted to live in a mobile home, it had to have been rehabilitated and brought up to code so that it was post-1976 in terms of fire and electrical code and these kinds of things, and that you could get a permit to do that through the Office of Manufactured Housing in Phoenix, which I think the name of it's changed to the Health Department or something. I don't know what it would take to do something like that, to get a mobile home like that, have the insides of it restored or rewired or brought up to current code so that it could, in my mind anyway, count, quote-unquote, as a manufactured home in terms of the safety and all these kind of things. If that was a way out of this with some of these things, would you be amenable to looking into doing anything like that, or would it be too distressing?
Definitely not. That 1976 date is very arbitrary. When HUD, the federal housing, its nose in, and they wanted to control low-rent housing. That is the only – there is no difference between a 1975 mobile home and a 1976 other than that stamp. Also, the industry dealt with this same problem. They did not want fly-by-night construction, so all of the major mobile home companies like Vagabond, Spartan, etc., had what they call Mobile Home Association. This was a self-policing association, actually independent, and that's all of those major trailers like we're talking about, the major mobile home. They had that. The customer would look for that, and that was actually their way. Hmm. But the 1976, that's very misleading.
Gotcha. So that's kind of a lobbyist trade industry
The federal government wanted to get in to the housing market.
Right.
At that time, everybody knew that low-income housing had to do with these manufactured homes they were making.
I see.
So that is the only reason. You won't find any difference. There's no upgrade. And then they just started inspecting it at that time. But like I said, the industry had its own standard, and it was a very high standard.
I see. So, well, thank you for the education on that. That's okay, a different perspective than the bureaucratic whatever knew about previously.
That's just the way it is.
I have one more question.
Sure.
If there was an option for some sort of mitigation, like a hedge of arborvitae,
we would be very. We have from the very beginning wanted to be good neighbors. We weren't ever given the chance. We were actually planning to build a fence across there. It's been called an eyesore by a very small number of people. Most people stop during the home tour. Christine was there in her trailer. People would come across the street from the home tour and take pictures of a trailer. Mm-hmm. It's caused a lot of excitement in that neighborhood. And yes, we would love to put up a fence, not only for the antagonists, but also for our own self. That's a very wide street there. There is a ditch, if you're familiar with the property. There is a big drainage ditch. There's a creek there, or whatever, yeah. That drainage area. Then it's a very wide street. And, yes, it's not something you want to look out at. So we were we'd planned to put a fence across there anyway. This earlier in the year, I had actually transplanted cane because for that same reason, to put a shield up there. Right now, there's... I think a Italian cypress and a pine tree and a lot of other shrubs already growing there. So, yes, I'm very amenable to that.
So some kind of planting that would obliviate the view of from the road.
It could be a planting or it could be a solid wood fence. Either way, we're very willing to do that.
Okay. I don't know that that's a solution.
I don't know either, but yes, we're very willing to compromise that way.
Okay. One last question. On this you submitted, I think this is part of the grandfathering evidence.
Yes.
Do you have anything from 2006 to 2008?
I would have to go and get that. I would have to ask. I don't know, just the way Rochelle looked at me.
No, not the sewer. These are, you've evidenced that somebody's lived in some sort of trailer.
You said there's 2 years. It was hard getting those.
Yeah.
This is a long time ago.
I know. I just wondered if there was proof from 2006 to 2008, because now you've got it from 2008 all the way through, then the grandfathering to me I just wonder if you had anything.
You have the Blue Moon mobile home that's already there, that's been there before everything else. That's the original thing.
Okay.
But, so that is a trailer. And
but for the other two pads, this is what you have.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks.
Any comments by other people in favor of the appellant's position?
You're done.
Thank you. Would anyone like to speak in favor of if you're signed up to speak?
I signed up to speak, and I could wait, but I have to feed my dog.
I think you should let the chair call you up here.
Oh, well, he just said, does anyone want?
I'd like to call Sandy.
I could wait.
Excellent. I'm just suggesting that we go to the part where people who are wanting to speak in favor of the appellant do so, and that if they've signed the paper outside, great. And if they haven't, then after they've spoken, they should go sign that afterwards so the city has it for their records. Would anybody like to speak in favor of the appellant?
She's on the,
You on the list?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Only because I also momentarily get confused. My name is Cynthia Conroy. I serve on planning and zoning. And at one time, those of us on planning and zoning were preparing to hear this issue. And then it was, and I just said this on another issue the other night, and I'd like to say this to all the citizens here. Having lived here 30 years, the city of Bisbee is a wonderful city. We all know that. We all live here, and we all go back and forth. I love the city. I hate the city. I love the mayor. I hate the mayor. I love this person. I hate that person. All that's really pretty irrelevant, and that's why we have laws and zoning codes and all the great things that those of us. I was on planning and zoning 30 years ago. I'm on planning and zoning again with a really delightful group of people who are planners, professional planners. But thank God a couple of us are not. We're just citizens who live here and care a tremendous amount about the future as well as the past of our city. I raised children here. So that all being said, one of the things that I think is not necessarily clear is language. And so you have people calling things trailers, travel trailers, semi-trailers. I mean, if you look at 6.14, which is actually the law we're talking about, somebody just threw everything all together in a long list of everything you could not occupy, and it's called 6.14. And that is what I encourage all of you to come to the next planning and zoning meeting, in the third Wednesday or whatever it is, because that's what the planning and zoning group is going to begin to discuss, because the law that went in place, that was the law that the city attorney and other people used to say these people shouldn't be where they are and those trailers have to go, that's going to be looked at again in contemporary times, because as all of us know, whatever might have been passed in 1998, which is our zoning code, or updated in 2006 when they just outlawed everything that somebody didn't like, that needs a greater hearing, and that's not really what we're here for. So I want to speak, but we will be at planning and zoning in a month, so please come. I just want to talk to a couple of things. This body, this elite body that obviously is not met often, the Board of Adjustments meets when there's a problem, and here we have a problem. So congratulations, Chairman and Co-Chairman, and all of you who are volunteering to do this wonderful job. If you look at the planning and zoning code, the nonconforming use, often referred to as a grandfather clause, says, and I quote, "Nothing adopted into this zoning code shall affect the right to the continued use of any property for the purpose used at the time that such ordinance or regulation takes effect, nor to the right to make any reasonable repairs or alterations, used for such pre-existing purpose." So the lawyer, in her response to these people, said, there's no grandfathering because though it's been a trailer park, i.e. mobile home park, and I can tell you for 30 years I've driven by it as a probation officer, I was in it in the 90s, visiting people who were, some of them in mobile homes, some of them in travel trailers, some of them in tents. I mean, you know, that's been a property until it was bought in 2002. It was a very transitional property, and it was on a piece of property, as Ed has established, that is really, you know, a salvage yard plus a couple of other rejects. Okay, so the people, when they bought it, they uplifted it, and they began to make improvements, and then there's inconsistent reports, because you know how this city is. Somebody asks for a SUP, and then it gets dropped, and somebody goes over here and does something else, and somebody goes and does something else. That's how this city seems to have evolved, both legally and other ways. They get busy, like they got busy suing somebody else, the city did, for the use of the parking lot downtown. So this little property didn't become important to the lawyers because the lawyers were more involved in something else, just if you want the history. So back to this nonconforming use or grandfathering. Since it was bought, and before that, it had trailers.
3 minutes.
Oh, we only have 3 minutes?
Yes.
Oh, I thought we were indefinite, like Ed. Can you tell me that? Okay, so grandfathering is something that this board can entertain, that witnesses such as myself and other people know, and then very clearly what you do have on this property is a yellow thing that people call a trailer, but it's not a trailer. It's a mobile home, legally and in every other fashion. So there's no getting rid of it, because not only is it a 1953 mobile home, there's a 1950 Blue Moon. They've all been occupied since way prior to 2002, but at least since 2002, the sewer bills have been paid since then. Trailers have been rented on this property. You have letters from people. And so I just think this issue belongs. Basically, it would have been nice if we'd gone to planning and zoning first, because if these people lose, their only next recourse, which I'm sure they intend to take, is Superior Court. And so then again, Bisbee gets sued. We citizens get to pay the bill if we lose, like we lost the parking lot page fiasco for a number of years. We citizens pay these bills when lawyers go off and spend money. So I think the citizens have a right to make sure this Board of Adjustments looks at this issue really carefully, and that's all I have to say. Okay. And we'll be on planning and zoning.
Can you read that name? I can't read it.
Just anybody that wants to speak in favor of this, come to the podium, state your name. We'll check you off the list if you signed up.
Who's this?
Okay, hello. My name is Jennifer Schmidt. I wasn't...
Where's the microphone?
Where? Oh, well, you can't... Can you hear me? Okay. I wasn't sure if I was going to talk tonight, so I don't have a prepared statement. I am the other resident. I live there. I live in a 16-foot trailer, and it has been restored. I had a brand new axle put on it. The electrical has been gone through by a professional. I've painted it, all kinds of things, making it restored. I had planned on building a picket fence and all these things when I moved there. Unfortunately, until this is resolved, I can't put any more man hours into it until I know I can stay. I've already put a lot of money, time, effort into living there. I've dug trenches to bury pipes and lines, and other things would be buried, and it would look nicer if I could put the time and energy into it knowing that I could stay. So I just hope that you all can understand where I'm coming from. I moved there in good faith, thinking that I was not breaking any sort of law and just trying to do my thing, be a private person. I'm very quiet. I don't have company very often, so I just like to stay and live in peace and enjoy the neighborhood. I moved from Old B 3 years ago, so I'm not new in town. I don't plan on leaving. I'm not a transient. I love my community. I volunteer, and I really appreciate all the support that's here tonight. So I feel very included in the community, and I thank you for the opportunity to speak. If you have any questions, go ahead. I'm kind of nervous. Sorry. Thank you.
I do have a question,
okay.
Because to me semantics matter, and whether RV versus...
And I'm not an expert. So.
What I need to know is your trailer built with a holding tank for sewage?
Yes.
And it does have a water... You had a water tank, so you would be able to stay...
Yes,
okay.
It can be both.
Okay.
You know, you can...
Right.
I mean, it has to be plugged in also.
Right, sure. Yes. All right, I just wanted to clarify that. Thank you very much.
All right. Any other questions? Thank you.
My name is Mackenzie Music, also known as Lefty. I own a 14-foot vintage Shasta single axle travel trailer. It has no plumbing in the trailer, except for water. It doesn't have bathroom facilities. So I currently park out at Double Adobe Park, where I pay $250 a month plus electrical and et cetera. I would very much like to buy property. I own property at 814 Pittsburgh. I'd very much like to buy property in Old Bisbee. I'm going to get across the pit. 1976, my God! What was Bisbee in 1976? What was the economy here? What was the payroll in this town? What were the tax revenue in this town in 1976? What was the trend in 76? Was the town going to turn into a bohemian enclave, or was it just going to die? Since then, wages have dropped 1,000%. It's hard to get a job in this town that pays $10 an hour. In fact, it's almost impossible. What about affordable housing? Why can't someone live in a decent-looking home, although there's lots of shitty-looking homes in town? Why can't somebody live in a very cool vintage vehicle, whether it has two axles, three axles, or four axles? I'm asking you, are Chinese allowed to walk outside at night in Bisbee? When did you rescind that law? 1976 was 40 years ago. That's all I have.
So the next one is,
they're just going to come up and talk.
My name is Michael Cheesman.
Anybody else in favor?
A newcomer to this town? Well, I lived here a year this time. Lived here about a decade back in the 80s. And came back when I retired. I read this brilliant analysis by the county attorney's office. And I'd like to point out to you, you know, as an attorney, a trial attorney, which the gentleman who lives outside of Bisbee on the panel probably knows, when you start to do a trial, the first thing you do is do the jury instructions. When you're going to do a brief like this one or a memorandum, first thing you do is read the definitions. Guess what? By the definitions in the Arizona revised statutes, the structure in question is clearly called, let's see, what is it? A mobile home. Very clearly. Very, very clearly. And there's another definition here of a travel trailer, which this is not. I was unaware of this entire thing until my wife and I, her name's Deborah Young, we volunteered for the home tour. She talked me into it. And when you do that, you get a ticket for the home tour, so we did it the next day. And we were walking around Bakerville and Warren, and guess what we saw? We saw 20 or 25 people standing outside this lovely mobile home taking photos of it. And we walked by them, and they called us over and said, you live here? We go, yeah. What's the deal? Why is this not on the home tour? We said, beats me. Didn't know anything about it. And I took advantage of an invitation on Facebook to go and look at this place. And I actually measured it, checked it out. It ain't no travel trailer, folks, by the state statutes. It's a mobile home. This is malarkey. Bisbee buys itself lawsuits time after time after time and loses them time after time after time. I'm sick of spending tax money on bullshit. And you're buying another one. That's about all I got to say. You want the statute numbers? I'll be happy to give them to you later. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. May I ask a question? You got that chapter and verse on you?
Yeah, I do.
Can I please see it?
What? You want to see the statutes?
Yeah.
Sure. I'll be happy to give them to you.
I agree with you that's very relevant.
Yeah, they are. Right here.
I'll give it back to you.
I don't care. I have a computer.
A printer, too.
Here's the one. What's your name, sir?
Keith.
Hi, Keith. I'm Michael. Is the definition of mobile home. The other one is the definition of...
I'll figure that part out, but we should let other people speak. But thank you for this. I appreciate it.
I'm just sick of this blowing my tax money. Because you always lose. Find yourselves a good attorney.
Yeah, my name's Jay Allen, and my father was Wes Allen. He came here in 1928, and I was born here in 1954. And I grew up between Los Angeles and Bisbee, so Bisbee was kind of like coming home to Mayberry when I was a kid. And, you know, I have the finest memories as a child. I love this town so much because, you know, I'm talking about the Music Box, the Phelps Dodge Company store, the Bisbee Luncheon. Any of us that have been here all that time ago, we knew what it was like when there was money here and this town was pumping and it was full of life. And I have such fond memories as a child, I can't tell you. But when I would come back and visit my father and I watched this thing slowly die after the mines put out, and God bless whoever ran Woolworths, remember Tom? They lasted so long I couldn't believe it. But it broke my heart watching the slowest deaths I've ever seen. And then thanks to people like Collier and Crafts that came in, all of a sudden people had a vision. This town is special. It's not another one that's going to go away. And so me being coming back and forth, I kept seeing the incremental growth. And I'm 62 years old now. And I think how long it took us to get here. You know what? Everything that kept Bisbee what it was when I was a child is nothing but a dream. It's a memory. And it's people like Ed Smith that have brought us to this point today that we are surviving. It's the characters out here. It's the artists. It's the people that make this town unique and special. And frankly, I don't think many of them are from Bisbee. I just thank God they live here, because without them, we wouldn't have Bisbee. That's it.
All right. I just recently tried to move.
Your name?
John Sky.
Thank you, sir.
We just tried to move a 74 into Saginaw. My friend owned a lot there. He's been trying to do something with it for a while. We're going to make it real nice and everything. And we're going to build, you know, porches and decks and all that stuff around it and do the groundwork. Anyways, we didn't do it because of the law of the 76 and stuff like that. And I understand if you're going to do something, you know, if it's nice. But on the other hand, I think if we're going to make it so we can have, you know, mobile homes and trailers and all that stuff in Bisbee, you got to be careful because that can bite us too. Because then you don't want just any drug addict bringing trailers in that aren't nice and being able to plant them everywhere and stuff like that. So that's another concern that I would have. And I'm all for bringing this stuff into Bisbee, but there has to be some kind of protection to where it has to be nice stuff, not stuff that doesn't have plumbing and stuff like that. So I just wanted to say that because that's – I'm for it and against it at the same time. So anyways, that's it.
Tom Wheeler, 102A, Tombstone Canyon. I had some prepared remarks, but Ed Smith said most of the things I want to say. I just wanted to help clarify a little bit about previous uses in that trailer park. When I first moved here on April Fool's Day in the late 70s, being the phone man, I put phones in fifth-wheel trailers on stilts in that trailer park. I mean, anything that would pull in there, and people wanted a phone. That was back before cell phones, so I would have to, there was no telephone poles back there or anything. It was a feat of engineering to get them a line. And so, yes, some of the things that were in there, this is a big improvement. This is something beautiful, something you should be proud of, you know. I don't want to see the heritage of vintage trailers and have a law that you can't have them. You know, Shady Dell go away. You can't replace anything out there. You can't fix anything. And you can't add anything because he's got more space there. That's, if you don't think that's an asset to the city, then you haven't been out there. It's something that people come from all over the world to see. And something that I always take people to because it's nice.
Hello, everyone. My name is Angelina Smith. I'm Ed Smith's daughter. I was born here in 1980, and I grew up here. And I love Christine's trailer. I think it's beautiful. I mean, that's a matter of taste, though, right? We're not arguing taste. What I really am concerned about and what really has, like, actually sparked me to come and speak is Jennifer. I'm really concerned about this law because, to me, it looks a lot like an anti-poor person law. I mean, what do you hear after trailer so often? Does anybody trash come to mind? That's not what we want to do in this climate that we're in right now, where we're just banning people left and right. I really want this community to be one of inclusion, and I want, you know, for Jennifer to have a safe home and a place that she can go and actually, like, not be worried about whether she's going to be kicked out. So that's my major concern, you guys, is that this is really... It's not Bisbee. It's not us. So thank you.
Hi, my name is Dan Simonis, and I think that we need to really be smart enough to know what we have here. I think we should encourage people to put their energies and put their money in this direction. Being in Lowell every day, which I am, maybe I miss a day once or twice every couple months, but I have people walking through there that I talk to day after day after day that have come from, like we've heard, from all around the country, but around the world. We've had Canadian television come in and do stories on this kind of thing. We've had Danish television come in and do stories. We've been in Arizona Highways did a feature. We were voted best small town in the West, and half the pictures that they printed of our town were of this kind of thing. So we have to understand that this is cultural preservation. It's our culture. It's a disappearing American culture. this is an important piece of it, and we have to embrace it. I think we can't just put up a fence to please someone. We've got so many people around the country that need this. We have it. We have to be smart enough to know that. Thank you.
I don't know where the microphones are. I'm going to make this short, but I just wanted to tell you that when I first came across that yellow trail, I happened to be visiting Jennifer, who's actually an amazing young lady and one of our yoga teachers. She didn't ever mention that. And I went into Christine's yellow home. Jennifer took me there, as a matter of fact. And I just want to tell you that it is incredibly beautiful inside. Everything in it is of the period. Everything is, you could eat off the floor. It's graceful, it's beautiful, the bathroom is divine, the loo is kind of round, which is probably like how they were in those days, and it was just totally enchanting. And it's nothing to do with trailer trash or dirty underwear hanging on a washing line or any of the other stuff that I've been hearing about. So I just want to tell you that it needs to be here. I came here for the day in 93. I've never lived anywhere in my life for more than 2 years. I've been holding my gallery down for 18 years, and it's been really rough. But I'm really honored to be part of this community, and especially to be part of what makes that beautiful trailer so lovely, sitting there. So that's sort of all I have to say, but it's really beautiful. And Christine, by the way, is incredibly welcoming to anybody who wants to go and visit her there. It's just so beautiful, and that beautiful car there. I mean, the whole thing is just a class act. And let me tell you, folks, I've traveled all over the world. I love that place. It's lovely. So that's it.
Anyone else in support? Anyone else wants to speak? So, get that done. Which one? Oh, comments by the proposal. Comments by folks that are opposed to the appellant's position.
I signed up.
Yep, that's it. Then come up. We'll check you off as you come up. Thanks for doing my job.
I'm Carol Beecham, and my husband, Dan. Thank you for letting us speak here tonight about this very important issue. And I want to address the three illegal trailers pre-1976 located at 205 Douglas Street. They've been there since mid-August. The zoning code says they are prohibited from being there, yet they're there. My husband Dan and I have already given you a memorandum outlining our concerns, and along with signatures of people who feel that the city should enforce the zoning codes for reasons of public safety to preserve the historic nature of Warren. During the previous century, Warren was designated as one of the three original cities beautiful, which included Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, and Warren. However, I want to make just 3 points. First, the property at 205 Douglas is zoned RM. It is not zoned for trailers. We have no problem with the manufactured homes that are over there. They're very, very cute, they're attractive, and they're compatible with the rest of Warren. The second issue regards the danger of trailers by avoiding the city zoning code. Should a fire break out in these pre-1976 trailer residences, from what I have read and what I've talked to with fire people, the insulation burns hot and rapidly and can become a firebomb. Not only would the residents and surrounding areas be in danger, but evidence shows that they are particularly dangerous for firefighters as well. Should a fire occur, the legal liability of the city of Bisbee and the property owner would be huge. Third, our homes in Warren are our future and our retirement investment. We've lived here for 20 years, and we are seniors now, and we expect our investments and our persons to be protected. Finally, we respect and obey the laws and the rights of others. We expect others to obey the law as well. These trailers have been on the property in the flagrant and direct violation of the zoning code since mid-August, more than 6 months. We wouldn't be here tonight if the city had acted on this issue when we first brought it to their attention. The property owner was subsequently advised the trailers are in violation of the zoning code, yet they remain there. Now they're requesting special consideration from the Board of Adjustment. It's time for this issue to be closed and the trailers to be removed immediately. They have had gracious plenty of time to find alternatives, especially since I understand that the resident in the yellow trailer has her own home here in Warren. We're not asking for special consideration, nor do we expect it. We're merely requesting that the city enforce the law which prohibits trailers being used as permanent residents at that property. They are not just unsightly, they are dangerous. Cities, including Bisbee, have zoning laws for a good reason, and those laws need to be enforced. Otherwise, our civic covenant with Warren and all of Bisbee is seriously compromised.
I would like to respond
to Ed Smith's comment about these being mobile homes. Zoning Code 5.22 states that no new mobile homes shall be allowed in the city of Bisbee except as expressly authorized after March 1st, 2006. I think that's something that needs to be taken into consideration as well. There are other places here. If they want to move to Shady Dale, that's fine. We're a residential neighborhood, and I would like it to remain that way. I just would like to show you what I look at. When I look out my living room and dining room window, this is what I see.
Everybody else got a chance to say what they had to say. Let's keep it down and let everybody have a chance to talk. Thank you.
Thank you very much for letting me speak.
Oh, I have a question.
Oh, yes, please.
Are you contending that what's happening on this property is affecting your value of your property adversely? Do you have any evidence to that effect, an appraiser's report or anything like that?
I have not gotten an appraiser's report, but I have talked to a realtor, and I was assured that, yes, indeed, our property values will go down.
Yes, sir.
The area is
zoned.
How
do I know that?
Pardon?
How do I know that?
I will find further evidence.
Okay.
But it's the point is, it's zoned RM. It's not zoned for trailers. It's zoned for manufactured homes. That's the issue. They're breaking the law.
Okay. May I go next?
Yes.
My name is Dan Beecham. My wife and I moved here in 96. I might add, when we're reflecting back on the glory days before, what I found was a town that had broken sewers everywhere. And guess what I did when I ran for mayor? I worked for 4 years trying to keep feces from running down the steps up in Old Bisbee where I lived and in other places. We got $34 million to correct the picturesque sewer system that we had in this town. These three trailers across from us are illegal. Defined in the law, they are illegal. The second thing they are, and I'll summarize it, they're dangerous. The big trailer has the kind of insulation that once the fire starts, people have only one egress from it, the windows are too small, and the fire burns hot. Please don't interrupt me. Fire burns hot, and it's very dangerous. The city attorney at the time, Britt Hansen, when the building inspector wrongly allowed the trailers to be dragged there, said, let them stay and let them ask for a special use permit. They're not entitled to a special use permit. So they remain there. They've been there about 4 or 5 months in this hiatus because someone hasn't actually said, this is the law. I'm across the street from me. I'm not looking at an eyesore. I've been to Shady Dell and other places I like. I'm not trying to ask them to go away. I'm asking the city attorneys to look at the law and follow it. The law says they can't be there. Secondly, I'm a public health. I was in public health all my life. Those, the big trailer especially, is a bomb. If something goes off in that trailer with that insulation, it burns fast, hot. There's only one egress. It's at the front. And guess what? There would be a liability against the city if the fire spread because you are in violation of the existing code. It seems to me that we need to not get nostalgic about this. We have places for trailers. These are simply illegal. They are dangerous. And they represent, if they're allowed to stay there, a liability not for the owners, not only for that, but for the city. Just think what would happen if someone died in one of these and they found out they're not supposed to be there. Guess where the lawsuit would go? Mr. Obenchain and the city. Thank you.
There are two doors in that trailer. The comment was made that there was only one point of egress. There are two points of egress. There's also a smoke detector, carbon monoxide detector, and a fire extinguisher.
Okay. Let's have one person at the podium speaking at a time. Go ahead, miss.
My name is Sandra Calhoun. I live at 214 Douglas Street. I came before the planning and zoning with my neighbors in November of 2003, shortly after Jack Dicey bought the property because he wanted to double the density. At the time, there were about four or five structures on them, mostly older mobile homes, and he proceeded to evict many of the elderly residents because they couldn't move their trailers without destroying them. They were old and decrepit. That's true. And but that I contend with a couple of things that Ed Smith said. He said that there were three trailers, including the one that is now sort of made over into RM, a residential manufactured home. There's also another little yellow trailer on the property, and they don't seem to be able to mention that, but that showed up about the same time as the big yellow trailer and the small blue travel trailer, which showed up in August. So I brought this before the Planning and Zoning Commission of November in 2003, and they agreed to limit the number of structures that he could have on the property to five, and now he has six. But I had a prepared statement, if I may read it. I think you already kind of, all of you, know the facts. You've read the reports. I believe that the purpose of zoning codes is to allow persons of disparate tastes and cultural backgrounds to live side by side harmoniously. In order for this to be effective, the rules need to be applicable to everyone uniformly. Mr. Obenchain disregarded these rules. After we complained, asked the city to make an exception in his case. So he asked for forgiveness rather than permission. If you grant Mr. Obenchain his exception, you are sending the message to Bisbee citizens that the zoning codes do not apply uniformly to everyone. When different classes of people are treated differently under the law for reasons other than law, whether that's cuteness, popularity, taxes, money, familiarity with public officials, I don't know what they are, this fosters an atmosphere of cronyism and corruption. I urge you to consider carefully the message you are sending to all Bisbee residents as you make your decision.
Ms. Calhoun?
Yes.
Can I ask a question? You said that you saw when they were pulling off decrepit trailers off of that property. What year was that?
That was between about 2002 and 2004. I've lived across the street since the January of 97.
Did that include travel trailers or things?
I did not see any travel trailers. These were mostly older mobile homes.
Like single wide, 55-foot long?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
And it hasn't been continuously occupied. None of those structures that are there now have been continuously occupied since 2003.
And you've lived across the street for how long?
Since 1997.
Okay, thank you.
We got one more.
No one else? Oh, here's something else coming.
Hi, my name is Margaret Hartnett. I live at 137 Black Knob. And I want to say it's kind of cool in this weird time we live to see our democracy in action. I want to applaud that. And I've had various opportunities to deal with the city on different planning and zoning regulations in my time here. I moved here in 1992, bought a house in Old Bisbee. It needed work, and I went to the Design Review Board and to Planning and Zoning to get all the permissions that we needed to do what we wanted to do. And then when we worked with John Brindley to renovate the old county jail and courthouse to create the High Desert Inn, we went to Planning and Zoning and Design Review to be within the law to create a business that occupied that space for many years and employed a bunch of people. And we left our house in Old Bisbee when houses around us were suddenly being turned into what we now think of as Airbnb without any sort of consideration of how that impacts the neighborhood. And when we addressed it to the city, there wasn't the sense that there was anything, any point that we were making, anything that could be done. People could do what they wanted with their property. And so we moved to Warren, and we bought a decrepit house and refurbished it. But we knew at the time that we were doing that, that some of the houses in our neighborhood were probably going to sit there for a long time because they'd already been sitting there deteriorating for a long time. The point is, we made the choice to do that at that time. We knew that we were improving a neighborhood in need of improvement, but not everybody was going to do that. And I think that is almost, you know, a little piece of this, is that when you move into a place and you get a sense of what's going on and you have a sense of what the neighborhood is, and I think most people think of Warren as a place that's pretty stable. It's got its upsides, its downsides, but we kind of all know what it is. You sort of expect that it's the place that isn't exactly caught up in everything that we think goes with Bisbee as a whole. The sort of asking for forgiveness rather than permission, that it's good for the city because it brings tourism. Those sort of things. You kind of have this different sense of why you live in Warren. And I know that that's subjective, but I think it's probably true for most of us who've been down here a long time. And so I think that what people are hoping is that the city will make everybody abide by the rules. I think that's what's being asked for here, is that as good neighbors, we take each other into consideration, and that then we can go to the city and ask for reasonable adjudication based on law. Because rule of law is the only thing that's going to save us these days.
My name is Irene Newland, and I live on 402 Hovland, and I'm not here to talk for or against. What I'm here to say is that if the city does its job, then we wouldn't be pitting neighbors against neighbors. And whether you're allowing the trailers or not, or the mobile homes, you're pitting neighbors against neighbors. That's what's happened here. When the city did not address it in the very beginning, and you know, this is a small town. It doesn't take much to drive around and see when codes are not being enforced or when things are going awry. And it's time. I had this happen myself where I had to become a bad guy against a dear friend because the city did not follow a code, which I had to look up myself and take it not only to the mayor, to the city manager, to my representatives, And when I did that, I had to sign a form. They did say I could be anonymous. That was nice. But if you're not going to enforce the codes, then get rid of them or change them. But you're making us bad guys tonight. And that doesn't make me feel good here.
If there are no other members of the public, then I would like to address the council.
Board of Adjustment.
Board of the board, yeah.
Let's not be too hasty.
You never know. Are there any other members of the public that would like to speak on this?
I think we did in favor and against, and now I think it's last call.
Hi, I'm Christine Gale. I am the owner of Big Yellow Bomb. I don't have a prepared statement. I'd rather be at Elmo's right now with a drunk spitting in my ear, actually, than standing here like this. I'm a senior citizen. I do own a beautiful home in Warren. I would love to sell that, live in my trailer. I'm getting to be a certain age where I cannot maintain a home anymore. I went to the Blue Moon's bungalows. I asked them about the space. I said I wanted to put a 30, 35-foot vintage trailer. They were very excited. Yes, yes. I went out and I bought a $60,000 trailer that's in mint condition. And I just want to live in it. I want to make it a picket fence, arbors. I want to make it real, very beautiful. The Shady Dell has been there for 22 years now. Not one trailer has blown up or caught on fire, and I don't think they will in the near future. And I would like to see the pictures that the Beechams showed you of the trailer. This is their view. No, not my pictures, their pictures.
They were returned to the Beechams.
They were returned.
Well, I'd like to see those, please. Okay, I see nothing wrong with these.
None for me, miss. Thank you.
Nope.
Nope.
I don't.
Okay.
Thank you.
I think we've got another hand up here one more time. Do we want to give Ms. Schmidt one more chance?
Sure.
It is Ms. Schmidt, right?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
Because I thank you for having me up again. Just briefly, I didn't have a prepared statement, so I meant to mention this partly before, but then after I could hear both sides, then it kind of jogged my memory, and I had a question or two. And so we were talking about enforcing the law. And when that happens, I would like to see it enforced uniformly. As someone mentioned, you can drive around town and see things that may be awry. And so I drive around town within a block or two of where I live, and I see RVs with motors that... parked right on the shoulder, right at the stop sign, you know, just, but nobody has said anything about those. And so I don't, you know, I just want it to be fair. I don't want there to be selective enforcement. Mm. And a question that I had for Ms. Beecham was, when you look out this front window, you see that, what she just gave the pictures of. My question is what does she see out the other window, which is right by her garage and one block away? If anybody's curious, it's a travel trailer hooked up with a electric cord running to the house. Thank you. Have a good evening.
I know that the attorney wanted to speak after everything, but the next thing on the list here is a rebuttal by the appellant, so maybe we should go to that before...
If the members of the public are finished.
Yeah. I think they are. That was the last hand, right?
Okay.
So, Mr. Smith, I believe you get an opportunity for a rebuttal?
That would come after what I have to say, I think.
Oh, okay. My apologies.
No, that's okay. And you can wait right there if you want to. I don't expect to take an hour or anything. What I want to start off by saying is what this house and all these things are in the community, I want you to understand that the attorney's office in the city of Bisbee doesn't have a position on that. Our job is to enforce the law. And what I'm going to do right now is provide some clarity so that we all understand exactly what the law says.
Could you pull the mic a little closer so people... Thank you.
Yeah. Is that better?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, sure. I don't think there's any argument now, no matter how compelling the emotional component is, but there's no argument that can overcome the fact that these RVs don't comply, and they're not eligible for grandfathering, they're not eligible for a special use permit, and they're not eligible for a variance, and I'm going to explain that to you here in just a second. We can't have a special use permit granted if the use that's being asked for is prohibited in the code, and it is, which I'm going to explain in just a second. But I want to go through a couple of things first. The first is a 1957 Vagabonda manufactured home. This is a new question for me. I wasn't familiar with it. And I want to let you know that the word trailer came from the special use permit that was provided by Richard Obenchain. So that's what we used. And while we were talking about that, I looked it up on my tablet. And a 1957 Vagabond is a travel trailer. That's what it's classified as. So unfortunately, that doesn't fall under the definition of a manufactured home. It sounds like we've confused some of the definitions, and so I'm going to read those right now. A manufactured home is a building manufactured after June 15, 1976, in accordance with the National Manufactured Home Construction and Safety Standards of 1974 and Title VI of the Housing and Community Development Act. A mobile home is built prior to June 15, 1976, when we identified 1976 correctly, and it's on a permanent chassis. It's capable of being transported in several sections. It's designed to be permanent, and it does not include travel trailers, motorized homes, pickup coaches, camping trailers, modular buildings, or park models. So specifically exclude some of those things. Okay. Now, a recreational vehicle, and these definitions come from the Bisbee City Code, okay, the zoning code. A recreational vehicle is a vehicular type unit that's primarily used as a temporary, mobile, recreational living quarters. It includes motorhomes, travel trailers, campers, and tent trailers, and has the same meanings defined under state law and gives that statute. It says recreational vehicles may not be used for residential purposes. Okay. So those are the definitions we're working under initially, as well as the zoning of this area, which is RM, is which we've also identified. Now, one of the probably the most important provision that we've dealt with is Section 614, which you've heard a little bit about. And what that says is it's titled Prohibition of Occupancy of Vehicles and Trailers for Residential Purposes, and then Authorization for Temporary Occupancy. Now, what this says is that recreational vehicles, among many other things, including travel trailers, shall not be used as residential dwellings or for permanent occupancy in any zoning district. So not in any district within the city limits. All right. And for temporary occupancy, no fees or compensation can be charged. And that's also a problem that we haven't actually addressed, but it sounds like it's pertinent here. The second is it says that if you occupy a recreational vehicle, you can only do so for up to 72 hours within any four-day period. And then if it's longer than that, you have to ask for a permit. So those are, like I said, those are the definitions there. Now, first on the grandfathering. Grandfathering requires a continuous exact use since before the law was changed, which in this case is 2003 and 2006. 2003 is the one that applies to when RVs could not be used as residences. That's when that law changed. 2006 is when we couldn't put them in any residential district, okay? There's no evidence at all that that's happened. An expectation, and I understand it sounds like that there's been an expectation because of these pads that they could use them, but they haven't been. And even if they paid sewer, which they didn't prove, except for from 2013 to present, that doesn't that isn't enough to allow them to be grandfathered. They actually have to have had something there before the law changed, and then the law, to be fair, doesn't make them move it. Okay, but there isn't anything there. They just put those on there. The matter of trailers on this land, in fact, was taken up in the early 2000s, and it went back and forth, I think, from 2001 to 2005. During that time, there was some contention between the owner and the city, and eventually the owner agreed to use only up to 5 pads and only for manufactured homes, okay? Not for mobile homes and not for RVs. And remember, mobile homes are the pre-1976 ones. So in 2006, the law changed. There was no there's no mobile home, there's no manufactured home either, or RVs on there at the time. So unfortunately, as I said, there's just no way that grandfathering can be used in this case. There's no nonconforming use that's been going on since 2003. Let me be clear, that's not an opinion on the quality of the trailer and whatever. But there is another part of this I wanted to tell you is, while we were also talking about that there's no difference between the trailers of 1976 and 1975, that's just not true. I looked it up, and I already knew this, but I looked it up from the regulating authority just to make sure. And in 1976, HUD instituted greatly enhanced safety protocols and required adherence to greatly raised safety standards. And those standards included for plumbing, construction strength, the air conditioning, the heating, electrical and thermal systems, and on-site additions had to meet or exceed local building codes. That was because people were dying before that in trailers. And so there is a difference. And that's why HUD can finance homes built after that time, but they won't do it for the homes before then. So you may have a personal opinion about that, but that's what the law says. The last part is we addressed the variance issue because that's an appropriate thing for the board to consider. But we want the board to understand that a variance can only – what a variance is, that means – like if there's a parcel of property that just doesn't have the same advantages, okay, of another parcel in the same zoning, but maybe something on the land keeps them from being able to have the experience the same enjoyment, okay, that other people can, they can come and ask the board for a variance. But you can't ask a variance for a use that's not permitted, okay? And the uses that are asked for today are not permitted under the law. So what that means is that the people who want this zoning code to be changed need to come in and ask it be changed. And that's absolutely a possibility. It's just, unfortunately, this board doesn't have the authority to grant the use that's being asked for. Okay? And that's all I have. Thank you.
I have a question. Under special use, businesses aren't allowed in a residential area, but you can go and ask for a special use permit in order to run a home business. Now, I don't understand when you say if it doesn't allow, you can't even ask for a special use. I thought special use were to go outside of what the zoning allows.
If it's specifically prohibited in the code, then you can't ask for it in a special use permit.
Am I wrong that a homeowner
No, so like if the code said businesses shall never exist in residential areas, then you couldn't get a special use permit.
Okay.
But it doesn't say that. What it says is it gives guidelines and says these are the sections where these kinds of different uses will be done. See, in this case, it says people shall not use RVs and travel trailers as permanent residences. So a special use permit, that's beyond the reach of that.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. So it's the definition of RV and travel again.
Okay.
Thank you.
Chair, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
I think the grandfathering issue is significant. Are you saying that there was a discontinuous use of the parcel as a mobile, as a trailer park?
I'm not sure that it was ever used as a trailer park. That hasn't been established.
Well, in your mind.
Well,
there...
I'm saying, sir, is that there are several individual sites on the parcel where a trailer could have been parked. And if one had been parked there that didn't conform with the code, that conformed at the time, and then the law changed, then those could stay there.
Well, at some point it was a trailer park, was it not?
It may have been, but I don't have that information. According to the information I have, it looks like that's contentious, and it was never resolved. And in fact, during 2001 to 2005 was when the owner of that parcel was trying to get that special use, that they agreed not to have it as a trailer park, but to use the sites in a different way. So I guess my answer to that is no. They subdivided the park, sort of, the parcel into different pieces. But regardless, even if we could agree, and we won't, that a grandfathering regarding the use of the land is appropriate, the two trailers that are on there don't conform to the code, and so we can't grandfather them in. They would have had to have been there before the law changed. Does that make sense? He could put, if we were to agree that it was a trailer park, and certainly it looks like that he had a special use permit for 5 trailers on there, okay? That's what our records say. He could put the manufactured home on there, right, but not the mobile home. He can't put an RV, and he can't put a non-conforming building on there.
But doesn't grandfathering mean that you can put in anything that would have been allowed prior to the cutoff date?
It doesn't.
Doesn't it have to be not used for one continuous year?
Correct. That's
but,
exactly
but if one right. disappears and one comes back, it's still conforming.
If it was
wrong?
Within 1 year, sir, that's
yes.
correct.
Right.
But there, we don't know that there was a year gap or more gaps?
But it's the burden is on the person who's asking you to decide to prove that there wasn't.
So it's up to us to decide who we want to believe as fact as far as that's concerned.
The other question I have is on the pads.
Well, sir,
ma'am, is there any liability to the city due that they've accepted money for sewer and garbage, accepting it as a livable space, and have been charging for that? Is that a liability, not to the city, that the pad is grandfathering in itself?
We only have proof that that was done from 2013 to present. So we don't.
But
really
but if it did go back until 2007, if it did?
I'm not sure that an expectation would open it up wide enough. The code is pretty clear that in order to grandfather, it would have to actually be in existence. The pads haven't been used. I mean,
the pads are in existence and being charged by the city. And so what I'm trying to say is I believe they've been charged since the beginning. If they just look without actually printing them out, there is charges.
Okay.
So if the and that's what I know we're getting in the weeds here, but this is kind of what we're up against, is if the pads are in place for that use and the city is accepting money on that for that use, does that not right. act as part of the grandfathering clause?
In sewer parlance, this would be squatter's rights.
Yes. No, I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
But there's only been permission to use five spaces.
Right.
That's all that's been used.
Okay.
Okay. The special use permit that was in existence between 2001 and 2005 allows them to put a manufactured home on there only. So, yes, they have absolutely the right to do that. Absolutely, yes. But these two trailers that were put on there in August or September of 2016 are not manufactured homes.
I disagree with that. I just...
Okay. All right.
Well, I just gave you the original Vagabond ad, and the verbiage was always mobile homes. I could have brought a stack of these things in. I thought that would have been sufficient.
Well, and when I looked online, sir, what the manufacturer says is that it's a travel trailer.
Vagabond trailer started in the 30s. So
this was in 1957. That's what you said, right?
No, 53.
1953.
Okay. Well,
I should
have
handed
you one
of those things because you were kind of out of the loop on
this. Yeah, I didn't get one.
Yeah.
I
got it. Well, anyway, that's the original ad showing her...
Okay.
Showing that particular trailer and calling it
a
mobile home. That's what they were selling as a mobile
when
home.
When I looked it up online, I actually saw it said park model.
Okay, well, let me be 100% clear, though, I'm trying to find, here we go. Sorry, I piled everything up, so that was the delay. During the special permit that was obtained between 2001 and it looks like about 2005, the owner agreed that they could use 5 pads. The city allowed them to use 5 pads for manufactured homes, which were built after 1976, and this doesn't apply.
The verbiage dropped off in 2006.
The special use permit doesn't change. The definition in the code is after 1976, and that doesn't change.
I don't believe they got a special use permit.
Regardless of what you think of the trailer, you're going to have to go before the zoning board and get the code changed, because this trailer is before 1976, so it doesn't apply. It's nonconforming.
However, in the grandfathering, anything before, up until 2006, the RM zoning, I have the paperwork on it, I'm sure you guys have seen it too, that says RM zoning included mobile home and manufactured home. In 2006, they dropped the mobile home verbiage off.
On the special use permit?
In the code, the city
on the
zoning.
Code, okay. On the okay. Zoning code.
All right. Well, so then in order to qualify for grandfathering on that fifth site, you would have to have a trailer parked there the whole time and with no gaps of more than a year. Is that what you're contending today?
No, I'm saying that the park was being used. There were two manufactured homes in use, and there was a mobile home in use. The two trailer pads were there. They have been used as back to at least 2008, and before then, actually, that's as far as we could actually dig back in.
Okay. Well, I'm going to read to you out of the city's code, and this is section 153, termination of nonconforming use of a building or land. It says, in the event that a nonconforming use of any building or land ceases for a period of greater than 1 year due to an act or omission within the control or attributable to the property owner, then any future use shall be in conformity with provisions of this zoning code. That means, sir, that because there wasn't a continuous use this way, that there isn't grandfathering.
There was a continuous use of the property.
But not of that pad.
Well, fine line there, I guess.
Yeah. Mr. Smith, did you have any more general rebuttals, not necessarily to the attorney, but to the opposition?
I hate to just let it stand. Actually, Christine's trailer is 7 feet wide. It's got a door in the front and a door in the back. In the living room, there's a huge plate glass window on the passenger, would be on the driver's side. So it's anything but a firebomb.
Okay.
And that's about all I would have to say on it. Okay.
So where are we now, boss?
Yeah, the meeting is closed to public discussion, and I think the next thing is discussion among the members present, and then a call for motion.
Right.
That's what's next, sir.
That's what mine says, too.
That's correct.
So we're closing the public hearing, then, and we have a discussion of the issues amongst the board members, and we'll call for a motion and decision by the board.
Who wants to start?
If I have my way, I'll be going last. Thank you.
We don't have your way.
So we should now make a decision?
No, ask for comments.
Comments from whom?
Us. We're discussing among ourselves. Go ahead.
Well, give me a comment. Is it public?
It's just among us. We get to decide.
Okay.
If you just hold down a minute, we're just going to work it out among ourselves on which way to go first.
I'll let the chairman go first if you'd like.
Yeah.
Make your comments.
Well, it just seems to me that after having listened to the arguments and so forth, and the fact that I've also lived a transient lifestyle in various times of my life, living in trailers and so forth, I have for that reason alone, I have a sense of nostalgia, I guess, for my own past lives and past experiences. But overall, my feeling is that the appellant has a valid case, and I would agree with the appellant.
I guess I'll go next. One thing I wanted to state is, I mean, there's great feelings out there that we need to accept this and we should change that, but what you're seeing up here is not a board that can change laws or do anything special like that. If you think trailers should be allowed in Bisbee, then you need to go to the zoning and it will be mayor and council that will make those zoning changes. So, I mean, our job is not to set laws, but to interpret what's in place. So just to make that clear as in where I have to come from is no matter how good it looks or it doesn't look or if it was whatnot, it's really a matter of us interpreting the laws, not on what feels good or what looks good or what we think the law should be. We don't make the laws here. We're just interpreting them and trying to give a decision. That's the way I feel about it. I see it as two issues. I mean, the two issues is grandfathering and, of course, the zoning code as the codes are written. The zoning code's a little bit fuzzy for me, mainly because what we're talking about is trying to interpret old verbiage into new verbiage. Old verbiage of a mobile home turned into what became a manufactured home. Now, to me, a mobile home and a manufactured home, granted in 1976, changed how they were built as building codes have changed over all the years. However, what made them not travel trailers and what we keep seeing here in their travel trailers is they cannot just be used in a state park or whatever. The toilets must be hooked up. They don't have holding tanks. They don't have water tanks. So I am under the idea that in my mind that a mobile home is all but the same as a manufactured home. It's just the verbiage which changed in 1976. So that's one point we're struggling with. I did find one that said park model, but even then, a mobile home is a mobile home. It's not something you can just drive around and live in and camp out wherever you want. And then the grandfathering, that's why I asked about the pads. Now, I didn't know that one of them has been sitting there as a mobile home since day one, and two of them, of course, are manufactured homes, which are allowed. And I agree fully that I think the city in 2005 said they could only allow 5 units on this property, and those 5 units have to be manufactured homes to fit into an RM zoning. And to me, a manufactured home and a mobile home are just different by the year they're made. So I guess where I'm trying to find out is I'm still struggling with saying that they can't have a special use permit. It was applied for. The city said, we'll accept it. Here's the letter from John Charlie that says, we'll honor your original special use permit fee in 2005. Obviously, it didn't. There's no other substance. They agreed to look at 5, not all the spaces, or 4, I'm sorry, instead of 5. Was it?
It's five.
So I have a real problem when the city decides that, yes, we'll be looking at a special use permit and we'll accept money from you for your sewer and garbage, and they've lived with this for now since 2006 till 2017. We're 11 years down the road, and nothing's happened about it since then. It seems to me that the city, just in neglect, has said, okay, we accept it as it is. We feel that it is a grandfathering situation. Now, you know, I'm wanting to hear from the other board members and what they think, but I personally would like to see this go back and actually be granted a special use permit, because there has been a trailer on there. There has been usage for at least 4 of those units. And that's where I'm sitting is I would like to send this back and have them apply for a special use permit and also let planning and zoning look at the whole situation about changing laws. It's not our job to change the laws.
Mr. Chair, can I address what Mr. Budge is saying? One of the problems with that special use option, and the reason, as I understand it, that it didn't go before P&Z already, was because there isn't a little slot in the zoning regs for it to fit into. You know, RV parks just really are not even acknowledged at all in the zoning reg. And that's a big problem, and that's one of the reasons why we're going to be looking at that next month and this year. And as to where they are going to go, we're going to be looking hard for guidance from the people that actually answer to the voters. There's one of them in this town, as to whether we're wasting our time going through all that or not. Because if we do this big study and all these things and then the council says never mind, then we've just wasted everybody's time. But it's kind of a separate issue. My understanding was that it didn't go as a special use permit because there wasn't a category of use that, you know, and that's the fault of the zoning regs, not of anybody, you know, involved in this case, right? So that's just a weird quirk about this whole thing. But I wanted to ask you a question. You're saying that, you know, with the paying of the sewer and the city, obviously it's like two blocks from City Hall and they're driving by it all the time and they see these travel trailers and nothing's ever been a problem until we get a complaint. Are you saying that maybe meets some kind of squishy test for grandfathering?
My point being is, before the law changed, they did talk about special use. They
right.
talked about limiting one less pad. I'll be honest. I think the yellow trailer is legally there because it is a mobile home.
Yeah.
Could be park model or not.
I wouldn't know
where the other one, I'm sorry, with holding tanks and so on, really falls into the RV side, which absolutely everything on here just is a no-no as far as living in full-time here in Bisbee. I wish I could address selective enforcement. That's not our job here. I know it was brought up, but that's not – we have no control over that. That's mayor and council and the building and department and the enforcement codes. So – I think, and what I was trying to say is, because there was a mobile home on one of those pads since before the law changed, and that the city has accepted money for additional, the same thing for all these years without question, then with the letter that came here, it seems like they just said, okay, we agree to it. I mean, if had there been the special use looked at, had there been a decision by the city in some way or another, but this just leaves it open. And so to me, it's basically was still open, and the city hasn't taken any real action on it in all these years. It still kind of just continues on. And now we're to the point where action was taken, but that doesn't necessarily make it right. So that's where I'm getting squishy, yeah.
Right. I like how you're thinking on that, because that's a good question. If the city says we'll be happy to keep taking your money, you know, and it's obviously to everybody an RV park in addition to being a trailer park, and it's a little of this and a little of that, you know, how long does the city accept something like that before it's a fait accompli? And then somebody comes and buys it thinking that it's all good, only to find out later that it's not.
See,
really serving people that, you know, in that capacity on the part of the city, that's for sure.
I know there's only records for the sewer back to 2013, but when I was on council, I remember if somebody hadn't been paying their sewer, there's a big dung against it, and there would still be a huge negative to it, and I don't see a big negative. If you didn't pay it, then there would have been a negative hit to it. So
Mr. Smith, when he was up here, suggested that there were records that were older that were available. He just got those as a sample that came out.
Yeah. Well, what I'm saying,
they could go back further on a manual search and probably tell you how long they were paying.
But if there's no there's no negative to it, then it means
right.
it
means they were paying.
Yeah. Right. There you go.
I'd like to make a comment. I have a property that's three houses away from the property in question. There's two houses between me and it. I just sold the property, or I'm in the process of selling it, and the trailer park being there had no impact on the value of my home, up or down, zero impact. And I got the price I was asking for in 9 days, so I'm having a hard time seeing how this is such an adverse effect on the community, having just tested it. So I guess that's what my comment was. So I just want to put that out there that I've just been around that block and there was no impact on my sale.
If we read, and this is where I'm trying to get less squishy, is under 1.5 nonconforming use, you know, it talks about this is the part of grandfather, and it says, continued use of any property for the purpose used at the time that any such zoning or regulation takes effect. So continued use, if it was set up for a park, it was being accepted money, it has the pads for it, is that a continuous use just because the trailers came and went? I guess
like
that's
the types of units are coming and going and changing all the time, but basically the use.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah,
a little smorgasbord of different types of mobile homes, right?
Yeah, and yeah, that's
good. It's good, Ken.
Well, continued use of the property doesn't, and not necessarily that there was a home on it, there was something else, but the property was used as that before, and it's been in continued. Yes, we do have a year and a half that isn't verified here of something actually being on one of those pads, but we do have one that was there the whole time that everybody thought was a manufactured home, but it was really a mobile home on one of the pads this whole time. So that's where I'm trying to get less squishy.
I'm interested in having the least damage to the least, to the as many people as possible. I want the least damage and the most benefit to the most people that we can do, you know. I'm respectful of what the law is, and I think I understand what we can do as a committee, commission, so I'm just looking at the damage we cause or the benefit that we cause, and I'd like to feel like we cause very little damage and we cause as much benefit as we can. And I'm more interested in the overall impact to the community, and also interested in the impact to specific individuals. But I'm looking at more in my mind the effect of the community of Bisbee. So that's just what I want to say.
I'd like to make a comment. When David Smith asked me to serve on this board, I did not envision something like this. I have friends and acquaintances on both sides of the issue, so I'm going to probably be upsetting somebody one way or the other. But most of you know my training has been in law, and I have a great respect for the law and following what the law applies. The issue in my mind here has been the grandfathering. Has there been continuous use of this parcel of land as a trailer park? You know, the definitions of mobile home, park model, trailer, frankly, are minor issues. It's basically, has it been used as a trailer park? The appellant has indicated that it has been used as a trailer park continuously since its inception. When I asked the city, basically, well, has it not been used continuously, and I said yes, but basically we don't have any evidence as to when it was not being used. At least I haven't seen any evidence of that. So I would probably vote in favor of the appellant. But what I like Cynthia's suggestion that we punt, frankly, and give it over to the planning and zoning, because this is an issue before them. And I say that because if we make a decision now, and the parties, I don't know, maybe the parties will just put it on hold, or maybe they'll go forth with litigation, maybe the waters will be muddied. You know, I'm open to basically reasons why it should not be. I mean, Keith is indicating maybe not. Yeah, but it sounded to me like a possibility. But before I turn it over to you, Keith, one other thing. I used to sit on the city council also, and I have people come to me all the time complaining about one thing, and I'd say, have you talked to your neighbor about this problem? And they would say, well, no, that's your job. You know, well, I haven't heard a lot here tonight of the parties talking to each other about how this could be resolved. Now, some of the parties suggested having a green screen, if you will, African sumacs or something that would block the view. It wouldn't take away from the fact that there's still a trailer parked here, but it would take care of the visual impact. And believe me, I'm in the same situation as the Beechams. I built a really nice home, and somebody came in and built up 50 by 20 utility building right in front of my picture window. Well, there wasn't anything I can do about it. And, you know, my wife was the most depressed I've ever seen her for weeks. But I'm trying to explain where I am here in any way. I think the appellants have proven their case basically by being grandfathered in, and that's the way I would go with it. I would rather have someone else make this decision like planning and zoning.
Let me tell you why planning and zoning isn't the answer to this. Number one, there's a decision being asked to be made here tonight. Planning and zoning doesn't make decisions. They make recommendations to the mayor and council, and the mayor and council makes decisions on those recommendations. And that includes special use permits. Also, if I have my way, for reasons Mr. John Skye had suggested a little while ago when he was here, he was talking about unintended consequences. And this is something that I brought up last month at the P&Z. If we just put the blinders on and say, Ed Smith wants his trailer, so let's just change the rules real quick and do that, and you're not looking at every other thing that could happen, the ramifications of it, you're not doing your job. So meanwhile, we don't even have, as I said, any real clear direction from the politicians in this town that we're on the right track with even doing that in the first place, although I think that after tonight, I think the political will is here in this room to probably address that issue. At any rate, it's not going to be over next month. It's a discussion item for addressing RVs and mobile homes and such in the city zoning code. If it even goes to a public hearing after that for actual recommendations, it won't be till the following month. So we're probably looking at like April before there's some rules in place. I could be wrong about that, but that's just my – I'm just going off of how these things have normally gone. I've been on P&Z for 4 years, and you're supposed to go slow on these things so that you think through all of the unintended consequences. But before us tonight is an appeal or a variance or whatever it takes to get them where they are. They kind of threw grandfathering, and we're appealing the interpretation, and we're asking for a variance and whatever we can get, right? And I've been up here scowling for 2 hours because I'm in kind of a bad mood. It's been a hell of a week for me and mine. But that's kind of beside the point. The other thing that has me in a bad mood is my personal opinion, and I don't get into personal opinions with these public meetings. If you've seen me at P&Z, it's poker face all the way. But this isn't P&Z. This is a quasi-judicial board under state law, state statutes, and we're here to make decisions. This is, you know, the appeal body for Board of Adjustment is Superior Court. It's not mayor and council. So since we're quasi-judicial, I'm just going to go ahead and be a little judgy and say that I think this is one of the dumbest complaints ever to come before the city of Bisbee. At least as long as I've been paying attention. And this room should be empty right now. And all of us, I'm with Christine. I'd rather be at Elmo's with the drunk in the ear. Let's go after this. I'm not friends with the Smiths. I've never seen the Beechams until tonight. And I'm already on a course to get myself kicked off this board. And after tonight, being faced with a vote where I'm going to have to kick somebody out of their house, I'm ready to step down from all this crap. I don't want to be here. So now that that's out of the way.
And you feel better.
Yeah. If there's a Warren Historic District that comes about, these trailers are going to be on the list of things that are historic about it. As we heard some of this testimony here tonight, that was one of the things that was in the shotgun approach to please get the trailers out of this across the street right now. I don't see people picketing in front of the Shady Dell saying, oh my God, these places are going to explode and take out the cemetery with them at any moment. Don't see it happening. That's a shotgun approach. We're suddenly worried about fire hazards. The original complaint that came into the city said it was an eyesore. Didn't say anything about fire hazards. That's something that came about later. But that's not what we're here to discuss either. We're here to discuss land use issues and not property values and fire codes and 76 versus 77 and all these kind of things. The variance thing is right out. The attorney made it very clear. Boards of adjustment and city environments are very constrained about what they can do and what they can't do. But variance isn't really the avenue that we should be looking at. That's Ed's shotgun approach. I wasn't sure about the grandfathering thing and whether I could support that notion, but I'm kind of persuaded by some of the things that the folks have said here tonight, not just the neighbors who talked about at this time and that time, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 10 years ago, that there were these travel trailers on the property. And the thing about the sewer bills, you know, and the squatters' rights of people using the city's toilets and the city taking their money, that's pretty persuasive to me. I'm not sure how much of a land use issue that is, but it definitely implies some kind of consent, whether it's a wink and a nod or even maybe not even on that level, maybe just a sure, write me a check. When it comes to this pad is no longer being used for a year, so the grandfathering on this pad is gone. My understanding about these things is that you go off the whole parcel, not off individual pads on the parcel. So if this pad on the same property that's been a trailer park this whole time is not being used for a year, who cares? It's still on the same property. We move the trailer from here to there. It's the same property. Fires. They don't make them like they used to. All these trailers are still here. None of them have burned down yet. None of them have been rewired. Maybe they just made things better back then. Maybe when we make America great again, you know, we'll have trailers that'll just, you know, meet the standard, right? I do think that it is in the interest of the appellant to do their damnedest to prove continuous occupancy in travel trailers on that property. You got a few emails in here, you probably need more. You got to track some people down. Because somebody's going to probably like get sued. That's the way everybody's talking. It's going to go to court, right? Somebody's going to do it. You probably already put a retainer down. So what the hell? You can just keep going. We'll go to Superior Court. And I'm sure you guys are feeling the same way if it doesn't go your way. So in the event that this goes to court, you're going to need all of that that you can. So I'm going to vote. We're going to vote. I'm almost done. We're going to vote here in a moment, and I'll leave you in suspense if you don't know which way I'm going on this. But I just want to tell everybody here and the folks that are watching at home, governments are bureaucracies. They turn us into robots. You get a program, and you have to follow the program. When you call the government, like you said, to solve your problems that you have with your neighbors, you can make the call, but you don't get to control where it goes and how it ends up. And sometimes, a lot of times, the people on the other end of the line don't have a lot of control of where it winds up because it's just a program and they just got to follow it like little Eichmanns who are just following orders. And next thing you know, people are kicked out of the house. The same goes for boards of adjustment who are constrained by laws and interpretations and self-imposed variances and all these kinds of things. So that we get backed into positions of voting things that are just kind of gross, but we feel like we're constrained to do so because of the laws. Thankfully, there's not a variance under consideration tonight, as far as I'm concerned. But when you go and talk to the government and ask them to get in the middle of your problems, just remember, you could wind up getting somebody kicked out of their house. You could wind up making wedges go between friendships that may or may not ever heal. You could make people have to incur great expense to move things on and off their property that they bought thinking that it was okay. You may have to pony up, or somebody else, you may cause them to have to pony up a bunch of attorney's fees to protect their little slice of the American dream. And you could cause a lot of hard feelings and bad blood that'll take a lot longer to dissipate than it does to start. So to the extent that it's in your power, do like this gentleman says to his constituents back in the day, talk to your neighbor first and see if you can work something out before you get the likes of all this red tape stuff involved. That's all.
I'd like to add one more comment. I would have liked to have seen the building inspector or the planning director here to present the case or the city.
Building inspector's in surgery. He had a great excuse. Rotator cuff.
No. I just, you know, I felt that the city wasn't really adequately represented with the facts that it had. So.
Yeah, go ahead. You need to wait on yours.
I'm not sure what we're voting for.
Well, if I may say I didn't want to go into the – I'll agree with a lot of what you said, Keith. The big thing that runs on me is the city accepted money for a use of property. Now, they didn't accept the money for all the pads – And I can only justify four of the pads because that's what we can prove they accepted money on. I'm sorry to say that. And I guess the other one is the prohibition of occupancy of vehicles. Under our code of 6.14, it says buses, motor vehicles, recreational vehicles, semi-trailers, and travel trailers Nothing in there about mobile homes. As defined in the code in Arizona statutes, shall not be used as residential dwellings. I'm sorry, but I can't go the full distance and say the RV that's parked over there can be grandfathered in, because it is definitely, I still say, a mobile home is a different definition than an RV. And so my feeling is I want to grandfather in the four pads that are there and whatever use they are or will be, but I can't grandfather it in the fifth pad. And I mean, it's tough, but I think I have to come somewhere down to where the fact that the city has given in on some areas by accepting money and ignoring the situation for over 11 years, and the appellant has applied, and on the other side, the codes strictly say what an RV is versus a motorhome and a travel trailer is, and that's why I ask if it had a holding tank, and if it has a holding tank, it's a travel trailer and it can't be there. That's where I'm at.
Public hearing's closed.
Public hearing's over. If somebody wants to be able to park travel trailers and live in them, there's a great process which would be happening at the Zoning Commission and to Mayor and Council.
Thank you, Mr. Budge, because that brings up another thing. You know, sooner or later there are going to be little pigeonholes in the zoning regs where RVs and travel trailers and mobile homes and all these things fit. And when that happens, there may be a path through either a special use or rezoning that allows you to start over if you wind up getting kicked off, or get rid of the grandfathering thing and have it, no, here's my piece of paper from the city saying I have a special use, or we rezoned it to whatever so that it's a little sprout of the Shady Dell has now been planted over here by the ballpark where people can see it. That said, if you want me to vote to kick somebody out of their house, you're going to have to pay me, City of Bisbee. So I will make a motion to that we grant the appeal in full. There you go.
Is there a second?
I second the motion.
This discussion on the second? Again, my only feeling is the codes are pretty definite about RVs, and that would be my problem with the motion. But that's with that said. Any other comments?
Well, we're talking about semantics more than anything else, and that seems to be what feeds a good deal of the legal profession, is interpretations and definitions of words and concepts and reality and the rest of it. And I still believe that the intention was there by the appellant by paying the utility bills, and the fact that they were never rejected and the fact they weren't behind and that was never an issue indicates that the powers that be accepted that situation, and there's no reason why someone should be kicked out of their space at this point. And I don't think there's really any reason for a person to be evicted unless they're not fulfilling the contractual obligations with the landlord. So I would support the appellant.
Let me you know, when Keith basically said the motion is to grant the appeal in full, I'm like, well, what's that mean, in full? So I went on with the notice of appeal, and basically it says the appeal states two legal grounds as to why the Board of Adjustment should enforce the action. One is the grandfathering thing that we talked about. The second one is to grant a variance, which we don't have authority to do. Right?
Well, it may say the appeal, but it's when they say the appeal is give us a variance, that's not the same thing. A variance, even if it says that, it doesn't make it so.
All right.
Sorry to interrupt.
I'll be voting on this basically on the grounds of its grandfathered in, essentially.
That's what I meant. I didn't realize they put a variance in there. That's, as I said, that's off.
Would you Would you clarify your motion then to say due to the grandfathering clause, so it would take the variance out of the issue for us?
Yeah, I'll restate the motion, and that is that we that the Board of Adjustment grant the appeal based on testimony and some evidence that this is a legal nonconforming use and that it is grandfathered, yes, which is the same thing.
Yep.
Second it.
The same guy seconded it. You agree with
it? He seconded it.
No, I know.
Restated okay. You as a first second.
Okay, second.
Okay. You agree to the...
Do me a favor.
Oops, fine.
Call for a vote. Go ahead. Chairman. Call for a vote.
Okay, we'll call for a vote.
Roll call.
And Dennis?
Keith Dennis votes aye.
Yes. Dennis Elton?
Keith
I vote for appellant. Is that what's the right word? Appellant, yes.
Voting in favor of the motion.
In favor of the motion.
Tim Budge?
Aye.
Aye.
On to the we have a next item, which is to amend the bylaws of the Board of Adjustment, and I, Mr. Chair, would like to make a motion that we table that item until next month. What do you think about that? Have we done this along?
I agree.
So that's a motion to table item 3 until next month.
I second. Call for vote. All in favor?
Aye.
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 So can we go home now?
I make a motion that we adjourn.
Second.
I believe there's still something else on the agenda.
We just tabled it.
Okay, I just didn't hear you.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry.